to another episode of Routes Through Pokemon Adventures. I'm Ruby.
I'm Shaylock.
And together we are father-daughter duo going to the Pokemon series of video games, the Pokemon anime, and the Pokemon Adventures manga. And joining us today we have...
Flame.
To cover Volume 13. And then Shaylock and I will also be going over a couple of anime episodes. But before we get into that, let's catch up on what we've been doing.
So nothing too much new for myself and Ruby, I know. But now that Flame's here, he can catch us up on how he thought vacation was and whatnot.
Yeah, the vacation was pretty fun. I really liked the big waves in the water. Like, those were a lot of fun. And
definitely.
Yes. Then I just got kind of poke and just... kind of like sunbathed and then burnt the back of my legs real bad.
Yeah, you did.
And I might even still be a little red right now. Yeah, vacation was a lot of fun. And then also, another thing that happened recently was we went to the Science Museum and I was able to watch this like hot and cold show.
Oh, that's a fun show.
Yes. My favorite part was at the end when he dumped like boiling water into the liquid nitrogen. And they just, like, a mushroom cloud. And then I also recently started a YouTube channel.
Yeah, tell us more about that.
So I'm mainly just reviewing Roblox games that other people have created. My first one's up right now.
By the time you guys listen to this, there'll be more than just that one up, for sure.
Oh. It's called Boy on Fire, B-O-Y underscore O-N underscore F-Y-R. And yeah, that's been a pretty cool experience for me so far.
Well, good.
Discovered that comments was off for my first video, so that was pretty frustrating. Kind of fixed that by taking down the video and re-uploading it.
Oh, cool. Were you also on that trip to the Science Museum, Ruby?
Yes. I did not watch the hot and cold show because I had already seen it. I think it was just Flame and maybe one of our other siblings. Well, just fine. But there was a new butterfly exhibit that was kind of like a jungle gym also, and that was kind of fun. I was in charge of chasing around our little baby, not baby, he's a toddler, and he kept trying to crawl under everything, so I'd chase him around.
Little Maltese. Alright, well, cool. I don't have anything else new to add besides what we've already talked about, so...
Alright, then let's get into the manga, starting with... Volume 13, Adventure 155, Capital Kabutops.
Alright, so the first match of the Gym Leader Expedition is between Brock and Jasmine. Brock starts with Kabutops, which is a rock Pokemon. It's also water, but... And Jasmine is going to check the condition of each of her Pokemon before getting into battle, so she brings out two Togetic, two Magneton, and an Ampharos. Oh, and it seems the rules are you can switch out Pokemon, but just like in gym trials to be a gym leader, if any Pokemon is knocked out, then the trainer loses.
Oh, I didn't quite understand that, and I was a little confused with the battles.
Sure. So yeah, if any of your Pokemon get knocked out, just like in the when Red was doing his gym trial to be a gym leader, you're out. Jasmine starts with Amphi, but it isn't going well for her. So, she mentions she used to be a strong rock Pokemon trainer like Brock, and she brings out her ultimate weapon, which is an Onix that looks a little weird.
He has a flat head.
Brock decides to... Yeah, he does. Brock decides to match that and bring in his own Onix, but as the battle goes, the rock covering on Jasmine's Onix breaks apart and reveals Steelix underneath. It's too much for Onix, and so Brock loses. He had never seen one before and didn't even know Onix could evolve. When asked if it was strategy to conceal Steelix in rock, Jasmine says she just hadn't wanted Steelix to become a sideshow.
Now we're on Adventure 156, Notorious Night Owl.
The next match is between Misty and Whitney using Starmie and Miltank. Gold and Chris flash back to getting their mission from Oak to find the enemy hidden amongst the gym leaders during the matches. Misty defeats Whitney pretty easily, And then we move on to Faulkner and Janine, who are two of the three rookies recently appointed as gym leaders. Because Janine is a new poison gym leader. And Faulkner, we saw his whole getting accepted as a gym leader.
Mm-hmm.
Noctowl versus Grimer, who minimized, wasn't going well until Noctowl used Foresight. So then Janine replaced Grimer with Ariados, and with the dangerous threat it was using, Faulkner switched in Skarmory. Things were rough, and Faulkner said he couldn't lose after succeeding his father as gym leader. This mention of father triggers something in Janine, and she ends up running off, forfeiting the match. She apparently thought she saw her father, Koga, somewhere in the audience. Interesting. Faulkner is now suspecting danger and, as a police officer, wants to find it and arrest it. Erica is concerned about Serge and Sabrina, who managed to keep being gym leaders since there is no proof of their rocket dealings, and she wonders why they agreed to the exhibition matches so readily. Serge stands up, because he's next for Kanto, and Erica uses this moment to ask Sabrina if she met Red while she was recovering at Mount Silver. And she says she did. Because remember, Red was sent there to cure his frozen limbs.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Sabrina had been there for the same reason.
Now, Adventure 157, Magnificent Magnemite.
Sabrina is annoyed at being interrogated and leaves to focus her mind for the battle ahead. But then we get a flashback to Red reaching the top of Mount Silver with his Charizard. Apparently, Red had to climb the whole way because the atmosphere doesn't allow flying up there on a Pokemon. Then Charizard accidentally ignites the hot spring's flammable gases. Red is informed of this by a bathing partner, Sabrina. Red can't get very close due to Mr. Mime putting a light screen around her. She asks about Red's Eevee, and he has it come out and reveal it is an Espeon, and then Red explains that it no longer shifts between Flareon, Jolteon, and Vaporeon anymore, now that it has evolved. And Red's okay with that because it makes his Pokemon happy. Then Sabrina says she has to go. She's already all healed, and she explains about the emergency summons for gym leaders, and that something big is going down at the next tournament. She is a psychic after all. Then she teleports away, leaving behind a note about a better hot spring further up that will heal Red faster, and if he wants to go, then he can follow the spoon of destiny she left behind. Back at Indigo Plateau, Sabrina wonders if she is being so nice to Red because Giovanni liked him so much.
That's a decent good reason to like him.
Then we cut to the already in progress battle between Serge and Morty. Electabuzz is taking out Gastly, and so Morty brings in Mischievous, but Gastly had already cut down the abilities of Electabuzz, and then Mischievous got power back by splitting the damage it had with Electabuzz. So Serge brings out Magnemite. They both learn the other has a bigger goal, and that's why they're both so determined to win. Serge wants to face Masked Man again, who he hears is somewhere in the stadium, and Morty has been seeking Ho-Oh, who his abilities are unable to find. So they have different reasons for being there. But who wants to find Ho-Oh? I thought Masked Man was also looking to take over Ho-Oh.
Mm-hmm. Now, Adventure 158, Silly Scyther.
Sabrina says that you did it, and Lieutenant Serge won. Then she overhears a conversation between Kurt, his granddaughter, and Bugsy. Apparently, Kurt made a capture net for the gym leader. Bugsy leaves his room and nearly runs into Sabrina. Their match is soon, but it seems Sabrina has an eye on the capture net Bugsy left in his room. Then, the reason I pointed out Sabrina's comments is that when we go back to the Serge Morty battle, Mischievous goes down, but so does Magnemite because of Destiny Bond. So the match actually ends in a tie. Then Sabrina enters the arena for her match with Bugsy. Psychic is weak to Bug, and so Sabrina is getting demolished. Until Bugsy and his Heracross find they are locked into a smallish area, and Sabrina is above them. Her Mr. Mime created an invisible house with one exit and some stairs that lead to the second floor she is on. Apparently, she can see the invisible house herself. Also, Mr. Mime used Echo on Heracross, so when it tries another move, it just ends up repeating the last move. Mr. Mime.
I thought it used Encore.
Yes.
Oh. Encore. Whatever.
They're spelled so closely alike, it doesn't matter.
Mr. Mime uses Psybeam and wins the match for Sabrina.
I like how Bugsy is the one who was captured, right?
Bugsy's Pokemon, Heracross.
I thought Bugsy was with it.
Yeah, they were both in there.
Oh, were they?
I like how she's like, how am I supposed to find an invisible hole in an invisible wall?
Yeah. It's pretty tricky.
Adventure 159, popular Pupitar.
Silver is at the waterfall in the Whirl Islands with Lance. Apparently his orders for the last 6 months were coming from that guy, and the reason Silver couldn't control Tyranitar that well, because it was a traded Pokemon belonging to Lance. So I liked how that was explained. They met at night a while ago at the Battle Tower construction site. Apparently, Silver had been following Lance since Cerise Island because of Lugia and thinking he was connected to the kidnapping. Lance learns this by reading Murkrow's mind because he can do that just like Yellow can read the minds, which we learned during that whole big battle. In the last volume of the Red, Blue, Yellow stuff. He supposedly knows something about Masked Man, and that's why Silver agreed to work for him for 6 months, so he could get that info, and now he's demanding it. Lance also suggests he regrets his efforts to create a utopia, and so it is possible they're trying to redeem the character of Lance in the manga. Like he's regretting his efforts to create that utopia by killing all the people. Lance wants to ask some questions first, though. He learns that there were three male-female pairs and all wore masks and were kept separate by the Masked Man. This is likely where Sham and Carl came from, which were people that worked for Masked Man. We got their names at one point. Then he also learns that Sneasel remembers Green taking something with her when they fled together. So when Green helped Silver escape the Masked Man?
Yeah.
A pair of feathers or something. And so Lance realizes that Masked Man is so fixated on Lugia and Ho-Oh because he wants to control time. Then we finally catch up with Yellow and Fisherman. Yellow wakes up in a home and Fisherman is still sleeping. Yellow overhears people talking about Jasmine coming out and that it is only the opening ceremonies. So this must be before the exhibition matches even began. These people make it clear they're listening to the event on the radio. Yellow also sees a lot of Pokemon pairs getting along well in the yard. Finally, the old couple of the daycare pop their heads in, seeing Yellow was awake, and with them is Choo Choo, Pika, and an egg.
That was surprising. I'm like, wait, what?
Looks yeah. like Pika and Choo Choo got along real well.
Yeah, when I had an egg, I was like, oh. My goodness.
And now we're finding out that Silver isn't necessarily a bad guy working with Lance. He was just doing it so he could get information. Maybe not doing the best stuff because he was working for Lance, but he was doing it so he could figure out who the Masked Man is and get revenge for the kidnappings.
He was doing what he had to be good.
Sort of.
I don't know. Now we do Adventure 160, Playful Porygon 2.
Silver is surfing along fast on his Feraligatr. Lance calls him on his watch to confirm that Silver is almost to Indigo Plateau, and that if Masked Man is a gym leader, as they suspect, then it will be Silver's best bet to find out who Masked Man is. He also says the opening ceremonies are currently underway, meaning this is also a bit back from what we've been reading on the tournament. Lance then tells Silver that this is the boy's final mission. Yellow learns she's at the Pokemon daycare, and she remembers Jasmine actually gave her that address when she saw Yellow's adorable Pikachu couple. Yellow discovers they have an egg. Oh, and Yellow, Fisherman, and the Pikachu ended up there after washing up on shore, and the only identification was that address, which is why they got brought there. So then the woman forces Yellow and Fisherman to work to repay for letting them rest at their place.
Yeah, because she's crazy.
Yeah, she's always finding ways to get people to work for her. Yellow finds a picture of the old couple when they were young, and it looks like they're in the company of familiar people who are also younger in that picture. One is a bigger, stronger guy that could be Bruno, is what I was thinking.
Mm.
The one with, like, somebody's head, like, in a, like, chokehold almost or whatever.
Yeah, the daycare man's head.
And the woman near him looks like she might be Agatha.
Oh, yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
No, I did not.
Here, can I have that picture quick? So that could be Bruno there, and that looks just like Agatha, her outfit. And obviously that's the daycare man, and probably the daycare woman there.
Well, that's what I guessed as well, with the daycare man and woman.
Yeah.
So who's the other guy?
The mastermind.
Yeah, so the other guy is a guy tossing up an apricorn, which makes me think he might be Kurt.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that would actually make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How do these five know each other?
Don't know.
Magic.
Yes, magic. All right. Silver arrives at the tournament, and the front desk tells him even standing room only is full. But then Silver drops 8 badges on the desk so he can skip the preliminaries. Apparently, he stole them from empty gyms. Silver comes across Blue in his room, and he gets a call that his match will begin soon. He is kind of annoyed at Red because Red didn't think it fair to borrow Blue's Charizard, and so he left his Gyarados behind as a trade. It starts getting really hot, and both Blue and Silver think the other caused it, but realize they didn't, and it was Entei.
It is getting really hot.
Yes, a new recording area is not the coldest during the summer. Blue's sister shows up because she was going to cheer him on, but now has to fetch him because after the current match, he needs to go on. But what she comes into is Blue and Silver, both with their Gyarados out, ready to battle. Because one has the red Gyarados.
Yeah, that is really cool. I really like red Gyarados. He's cool.
Yes.
Then we do Adventure 161, Entranced by Entei.
Both Gyarados attack, and then Entei is gone. Silver chases, but Blue has to get to his match against his teacher, Chuck. Blue is using Rhydon, and Chuck is winning. Blue recalls his time as Chuck's pupil and learning important lessons. Then Silver recognizes the heat he felt from Entei is the same as the flame of life that saved him and Gold. Blaine shows up and asks Silver to leave Entei with Blaine for a little longer. Blaine is hoping Entei can burn the disease out of his body. He also thinks that maybe he could be the partner Entei is looking for.
Then Adventure 162, Heckled by Hitmontop.
Back to the battle between Blue and Chuck. Hitmontop is difficult, but Blue hops on Rhydon and closes his eyes to sense everything around him, and being on Rhydon helps it sense it too. Then he stops Hitmontop's drill attack and a reverse drill, which not only cancels out Hitmontop's attack, but defeats him. Blue tells he used what he learned from Chuck, who seems impressed with his student. Blue explains he used only Rhydon because he found a book hidden in the Viridian Gym, Secret Earth Arts. It was Giovanni's, and Blue thought he should master the secrets as the new Viridian City gym leader. Then Blue and Chuck both sense an aura of evil engulfing the entire stadium. Blaine is free from his disease, but it also means he is now disconnected from Mewtwo, who we see fly free of Cinnabar Island. So now Mewtwo's out on its own again.
Wait, how is it trapped just because of his disease?
Well, he kept him there because they were both connected deeply with the... because they used some of his cells to create Mewtwo.
Oh, that's crazy. And it's psychic.
Silver is annoyed the homing system on the Pokedex is coming up with an error while trying to locate where Entei went. Silver learns Blue defeated his teacher, and it just reminds Silver of his teacher, Masked Man, and how he wants to defeat him because he is not fond of that bond. Then a weird old dude with an Abra shows up and says he can teleport Silver to safety. Remember there being an old dude when we got up to the Elite Four?
Mm-hmm.
And he had an Abra right next to him, and he said he could teleport us back to New Barktown?
Yep.
That was awesome. I'm glad that they have that in the story, too. Although it turns out to be a little different in this story. Silver thinks it is a new enemy, but then the old man takes off his glasses, and his face starts to melt off, because it's green! Then she says goodbye to Silver, and teleports him away. She had him do all the work, but he won't have to fight on his own anymore, because now it's her turn. Then Blue's sister bursts into the League Association area with the director and Bill there so she can tell them about the disturbance.
Then we do Adventure 163, Bringing Up Blossom.
Kanto has won 3, Johto 2, and there has been a tie. So if Kanto wins the next match, they win the whole championship. Blaine and Claire are supposed to be next, but Blaine isn't feeling well, so it moves on to the captains, Erica and Price. Erica wishes that Blaine had made it to the summons and had been the captain. But then she focuses on the battle. She talks about the importance of subtlety in flower arrangements and in Pokemon battles and sends out a petal dance that distracts Price's Swinub. But a single snowflake almost takes out one of her Pokemon. Thankfully, she planned ahead for a good synthesis healing. But it turns out she suddenly lost because of Price being so subtle. Morty, who had been watching closely, saw what happened and how Swinub had used snow on all the flowers so that their spin would be blowing cold air. The director doesn't think it is possible the modest Price could be the person they're looking for, but Gold notices the power and the use of ice, so he's suspicious. Crystal doesn't think the old crippled man capable. Then Gold notices a silhouette in one of the stadium entryways. He realizes someone has been following him and Chris. They go seeking the person and end up in the control room where the guy there running things is out of it. Then they are confronted by the two executives who have taken control of the control room. Something stops Gold from being able to get to them, and he recognizes them as the ones from Ecruteak. They say nothing can stop them now, as the plan has reached the point of no return. They are about to announce their comeback with the takeover of the stadium. They also reveal their boss is at Ecruteak over Tin Tower battling Ho-Oh to gain a new power, and Gold and Chris can't believe it. How can Masked Man be there if he is one of the gym leaders who are all present at the stadium?
What about Blaine?
And also, I liked how this became the Radio Tower segment of the game, where they were going to announce their comeback.
Oh, I didn't compare that.
Yeah.
That's cool!
Yeah, they're still following some of the plot stuff. It's just a tweaked.
Now, Adventure 164, Slick Slowking.
Turns out Gold and Chris were paralyzed by a roar from a bunch of Houndoom and Persian. Gold sends in Politoed, who uses hypnosis to knocks them all back, freeing Chris and Gold. But then two of their Pokemon, Slowking and either Slugma or Magcargo, I couldn't tell, use attacks they have that can be used while sleeping. Then Chris has Bony join the fight. Things are going rough, and while Gold and Chris are battling the Pokemon, Sham and Carl are finishing their work on taking over the entire stadium. Then the two heroes bring out Parasea and Sunbow to absorb energy and knock down the Pokemon and even the executives. But they're too late. The Mag Train, which was secured by computers, is unlocked, and Team Rocket is taking control of it.
Then, Adventure 165, Lugia and Ho-Oh on the Loose, Part 1.
Gold and Chris are worried the train might be crashed into the stadium or something, and they also find themselves locked in because the computers work the locks of the stadium, too. Gold and Chris try to blow their way out, but it isn't working. So Gold uses communications and reaches the screens in the stadium and warns everyone the train's security has failed and that they could all be in danger. But then he's forced out, and I think everyone is treated to an image of Masked Man battling Ho-Oh. Chris and Parasea mix spores to create a corrosive that eats away the metal and allows them to escape. The Mag Train arrives inside the stadium and releases Team Rocket, and a battle ensues. The gym leaders are fighting back.
I feel like it's a real bad idea to unleash not even good trainers against 8 gym leaders.
16.
Oh, yeah, that's even worse for them. What kind of plan did they have?
Or maybe it's only 15, since Masked Man is probably a gym leader. And...
Or Oh, right. Mask Man could be Koga.
Koga?
The original gym leader of the Poison Gym, Janine's father.
Could be missing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or Faulkner's father.
Oh, yeah, that would make that actually make sense.
Then the train leaves again, and Gold and Chris learn the gym leaders are inside of it, as they had entered to keep Team Rocket back. So they realize the real intention might have been to kidnap the gym leaders and get away from the stadium. Masked Man congratulates them on the realization and informs them it is too late, though. Then he introduces them all to his new minions, the Rainbow Wings of the Skies and the Silver Wings of the Seas.
And now to conclude this book, Adventure 166, Lugia and Ho-Oh on the Loose, Part 2.
The two legendary birds are destroying the place, and Gold and Chris are just barely hanging on. Then they figure some things out and make a plan and are frustrating Masked Man, who tries to end Gold right then. But Chris uses Nati's future sight to attack in the future, or something.
That is what I understood as well.
Which is cool.
It is so freaking cool!
So, Masked Man then finds Kurt, who he was apparently looking for, and grabs him and his granddaughter. Gold notices that Masked Man's mask changed shape, and he grew larger himself. What is he?
And it's really creepy when he changes.
Masked Man tells Kurt that he works for him now, and that he must make the Pokeball that can capture time itself. Alright, so, that's all pretty darn cool that he's trying to capture time itself, whoever this person is. But
Wait. Is the Masked Man you?
Shh. Spoilers.
Save me.
So, with that all said, what are your opinions on the Masked Man and what the real identity is now?
Well, I'm thinking it's probably Koga, or like you said, maybe Faulkner's father, because they both aren't around.
And they were gym leaders.
Mm-hmm. And like, there were scratches on a Pokemon or something from only a gym leader's badge, or they found badge DNA, essentially, with that specific metal. So it could be one of them, and they still have a couple badges from when they were gym leaders.
I could see that. Hopefully we'll find out once we finish the Gold and Silver arc with Volume 14.
I was quite disappointed that we didn't find out who Masked Man was in this one. Very disappointed.
Well, we're getting the plot figured out, though. He wants time itself. We know why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, that's cool. I thought you had told me that was going to be in here, though. You probably didn't, but I thought so.
I think I said I was pretty sure and figured it out by this volume for sure.
Maybe that's what I heard.
And maybe I thought that you would have it figured out by then, but you were still just guessing, so... Like, you have a couple ideas.
Well, I was pretty sure it's Koga, but...
Oh, but I misled
now
you.
Now that you mentioned...
But I threw in more questioning stuff by mentioning Faulkner's father.
Yeah. Now it could be him.
I clouded up your clarity.
Still, I feel like Faulkner's father was probably a better person, and Koga's not such a good person, so...
Sure.
I'm thinking it's probably him.
I mean, it seems likely it would be him, Sabrina, or Lieutenant Surge, who were all Team Rocket people.
But they were all there when it aired. Or Masked Man showed up.
Except for Koga.
Yeah, because Koga's not around. No one knows or seen or heard of him. So it's probably...
Well, they've heard of him, but...
Wait, but that would mean back in the past, Koga would have also had to... Been doing some stuff.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Oh. No.
That might lean more towards Faulkner's father, then.
How old is he?
Well, old enough to have an adult son who's now a gym leader. And he was probably an adult when he was a gym leader or something. I don't know.
Okay, maybe. Maybe it's his father. I don't know. Okay, I'm not sure of anything anymore. And now for the anime episodes. Starting with episode 259, season 5, episode 48, Lapras of Luxury, or Rapudasu no Uta, or Laplace's Song, with an exclamation point.
Well, it's just two words, so...
No, it's more like Lapras's Song.
Laplace's Song.
Laplace's Song, when it could be Laplace's Song! They're pathetic.
So on the way to New Barktown, the gang stop and rest at a Pokemon Center, and they have a video chat with Professor not Oak, but Elm! Because they always have conversations on the screen with Oak.
Mm-hmm.
He requests the gang stop at the Marine Laboratory, where he wants them to pick up another egg. As they reach the lab, a lady rushes out and Brock rushes after her, once again in love. The woman reaches the end of the dock and sets up equipment to track a group of Lapras that are coming singing their song of travel. And when the Lapras arrive, there was one that was a lighter blue, and then one of the regular-looking Lapras heads right over to the dock and cuddles Ash, because it's the Lapras he rode all through the Orange Islands!
Woohoo!
Brock mentions that it was the one we knew, which was kind of annoying because Brock wasn't part of that. He never got to ride Lapras. He was on the Orange Islands long enough to be left with Professor Ivy, which was before Lapras.
Wait, so he didn't even meet Lapras?
Nope.
That's rough.
So he shouldn't have said we knew, but that's okay. Apparently, when they mention the Orange Islands, the lady's like, that's the missing piece to her research on the migration route of the Lapras. Brock interrupts with his flirting again, and Misty is back to babysitting Brock. The lady, Naomi, has been trying to figure out how the Lapras know when to move along their migration route and communicate it so quickly to the rest. She thinks it is connected to the songs of the Lapras. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is hanging out in their Gyarados sub again, and are spying on all the Lapras, and they want to capture them all. Naomi reveals the egg to the gang. She explains that it was from the Pokemon Preserve on Mount Silver, but was stolen by poachers. Then Lapras wants to play with Ash, so they go out and have a grand time. All the Lapras, except for Ash's, are caught in a net, and Team Rocket pops out of the water to deliver a modified motto.
Our research warns, prepare for trouble.
Our data's conclusive, so make it double.
To protect the world from devastation.
To unite all peoples within our nation.
To denounce the evils of a string bikini.
And extend our reach a teeny weeny.
Jesse.
James.
Team Rocket surfs the wind at the speed of light.
Surrender now and shoot the curl, or prepare to fight. I thought that was great because that's usually to extend our reach to the stars above or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And instead of extending his reach to the stars above, it's just extend our reach a teeny weeny. That's just funny.
Yep.
Ash rushes in on Lapras and tries to get Team Rocket, but Weezing covers an escape. Naomi brings the rest of the gang into her sub, and they all give chase. Team Rocket have a new feature on their sub that shoots them forward underwater, and they all give a catching catchphrase as they say, "Now this is a blast!" Ash gets into the sub, and they all follow Lapras after Team Rocket. Then we get our Who's That Pokemon trivia. This Pokemon's body is covered by spikes. The Lapras in the net put a hole in the net and start to escape. So Team Rocket goes to surface, but to make matters worse, they end up in a group of whirlpools, and it drags them and the rest of the Lapras that are still in the net into it. And they're blasting off again, but they're in the water, so they don't ding.
Splash, splash.
Lapras communicates with the rest of the Lapras, and they catch up. So the gang think everything's great, but then they find out the Lapras mom and the leader Lapras are not there. They're still in the net that was dragged off with Team Rocket. Turns out Team Rocket and the two Lapras ended up on an island. The gang catch up, and a battle begins. In the end, Team Rocket is hit by Pikachu, and they're blasting off again!
Ding! Ding.
The gang give their farewells to Lapras, who is then allowed to take over the lead. Ash has the egg in a new incubator, and they head out back to New Barktown once again.
And our Who's That Pokemon? It's Quillfish! And our tallies are a baby sing rock, a modified motto, and a catching catchphrase. Now to rank it. All right, you rank it first.
All right, well, it was fun to see Lapras again and that we were reconnected to that whole thing. Some fun Team Rockety stuff with the mottos and everything. But overall, it didn't, like, it's obviously filler.
Well, that is Lapras' thing, is going in filler episodes.
Yeah, it's a little tricky after we had Flame on, messing around with all of our rankings. So, ignoring some of that, I think it probably goes maybe right under Apparent Trapped.
Sure. Definitely ignoring some of the stuff that he definitely messed up.
Alright. So, yep. That will put that at 21 out of 48.
Okay. Now, episode 260, or season 5, episode 49. Hatch me if you can. Or, Tamago o Mamore, Adashi no Nakade. Are you sure it's not naked? Nakade? Really? Umatete inochi. Or, protecting the egg, the life born in a storm.
I know Rashi is storm.
They could have added one more exclamation point and then they would have been good. But instead, they just want to keep it boring.
Ash and Co. are having a picnic and they're impatiently waiting for the egg to hatch. And it starts glowing just like Fampi did before. Looks like it's hatching already. After the credits, it stops glowing, and they comment about it being a false alarm again. They say it's a false alarm again, so it sounds like in the middle of the credits, we must have seen it glow. They must have had it glowing and stopping a few times. Mm-hmm. So Ash tries rocking it and warming it. Earlier, Brock had mentioned it could be a legendary Pokemon, and so Ash is clinging to that idea, and Team Rocket overhears, and so they want the legendary Pokemon egg.
And I'm like, have you learned nothing, people?
And so, of course, they're going to plan to steal it. The egg finally hatches, and it's a Larvitar. Apparently, the Pokemon is sick, and so they rush off to the nearest Pokemon Center. Joy is going to contact Elm, but he is busy at some docks somewhere, greeting the newly arrived Professor Oak and Delia.
What are they doing together?
Right? And they have a bizarre conversation about putting on monster masks and scaring Ash when he gets there to surprise him.
It was really weird.
It was bizarre. And Delia even talks about how she used to basically traumatize Ash when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Then a storm rolls in over the Pokemon Center where they're trying to heat up Larvitar. The power goes out and Joy finds it odd since the backup generator didn't turn on. She goes to investigate and finds it is damaged and she suspects lightning did it. But when she rushes over toward it, a pit opens up and she falls in. Because Team Rocket broke it. They pose as a doctor and Nurse Joy again, Jesse wearing a fake Nurse Joy mask like she did the first time, where the mouth didn't move, and comes to rush the Larvitar off in an ambulance. Ash and Misty accept this, but Brock is quite suspicious of Nurse Joy as his superpower of being attracted to Joy kicks in.
Superpower?
Team Rocket is revealed, and Pikachu zaps them, sending Team Rocket running off again! Without power, Ash has Cyndaquil warm up Larvitar. Elm finally gets the email about the Larvitar being ill, and the gang have all fallen asleep at the Pokemon Center. Ash has a weird dream of being carried off in a crate and falling out and being kicked around in a crowd. Basically, he's dreaming what Larvitar went through as an egg. Then Elm, Oak, and Delia arrive, which means we do have a rockin' reunion with Elm being in person. Ash wonders, what?
So he appeared over the screen, so now since he's like a professor, are we still counting him as a rockin' reunion?
I think so, because he hasn't been showing up before, so.
Okay.
And I don't think we're going to have him much longer, because we're like, this is our last season of Johto.
Okay.
It's not like he's going to keep going back and talking to Elm when he goes to the next region. He'll probably be talking to Oak again.
Yeah.
Ash wonders what Delia and Oak are doing there, and Delia changes the subject, saying Ash must need to eat, and then they can talk about it.
Yeah, she's like, what are you two doing together? And she's like, how would I make you breakfast?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely like, hey, are Oak and Delia finally admitting they're in a relationship, or what?
Yeah, that was suspicious.
And then we get our Who's That Pokemon trivia. This Pokemon rubs its snout on the ground to find food. After they do a bunch of, like, tests and stuff and getting Larvitar's heat back up, Larvitar is still off somehow. Ash explains his dream over breakfast, and he thinks that might be what is still wrong with Larvitar. It didn't want to be out in the scary and horrible world that it had already gone through, like being in the egg and all the bad stuff happening. So Ash brings Larvitar out to help him see how wonderful the world can be. But then, standing by a pile of hay and in disguises, we have Team Rocket giving us an interesting intro.
Prepare for trouble and stop your dreaming.
Make it double, because we're busy scheming. And it flows into a muddled middle.
To protect the world from Goody Two-Shoes.
And let you know when you snooze, you lose.
Go ahead, take your nap and float off to dreamland.
Then your Pokemon will be under our command. And then they rush into that pile of hay they were standing in and come out with a busted bot. It's a vehicle with different, like, a bunch of different kinds of grabbers, like a hand grabber and a pincher grabber and stuff, and a net on top. Team Rocket nabs Ash and Pikachu, and Larvitar is still free. Team Rocket struggles with all the jump luff that start flying around, and then Larvitar yells, and it causes pain to everyone. And we learn this is Screech. That's the movie he's using.
Yes, it's not going to be his first time.
He uses his hidden power to send Team Rocket blasting off again!
Ding-a-ling.
Larvitar is doing better, but still will take some time to open up completely. Then Ash makes it to the new Barktown Pokemon Center to register for the Silver Conference. Before Ash leaves, Elm asks him to return Larvitar to the Pokemon Preserve on Mount Silver. Since opening up, it seems Larvitar is frightened of Misty. But so earlier, she had also expressed annoyance at Ash hatching Larvitar to begin with. Like, when he did hatch it, she's like, you didn't hatch it, which seemed kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, she was kind of cranky about it. And when Larvitar is excited to go with Ash to Mount Silver, Misty is very grumpy about that, too.
She wants all the eggs.
Apparently.
Our Who's That Pokemon? It's Swinub. And our tallies are Off Again, Rockin' Reunion, Interesting Intro, Muddled Middle, and Busted Bot. Now let's rank it. Alright, now time to rank it. And I believe it is my turn to do that.
Yep.
Alright, let's see. I thought it was cool with the whole trying to, like, save Larvitar and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that.
And it was kind of funny with Delia avoiding questions.
Yes.
The whole mask scaring him was weird thing.
Definitely creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think about right below a parent trapped?
Like I did with mine?
Yeah.
Sure, we can do that.
Okay.
That puts Hatch Me If You Can as our new number 21 out of 49.
Well, that's our episodes for the week. But it leads us into an arc of returning Larvitar to Mount Silver, which we'll cover on our next routes through Pokemon Adventures. All right, now it's time to catch our Pokemon.
This is the part where we choose the Pokemon that we felt was the most highlighted or that we enjoyed the most from the episodes we watched, which is only two episodes this time.
All right, do you have yours ready?
I think so.
All right, I feel like it was pretty easy.
I mean, there's only a couple choices, and I feel like one definitely crowds out the other, so.
I feel bad. Like, if you have a different one than me, then it's going to be kind of weird.
Well, it's our own opinions. It's fine.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Larvitar. Lapras. Oh. But Larvitar was new.
Larvitar is new, but Lapras, like, Larvitar, like, he was definitely the main character of that episode once he hatched and trying to deal with his, like, fears and all that stuff. But Lapras, not only was it the return of the Lapras that Ash knew, but there was a ton of Lapras in that episode too, including the pale Blue Lapras and the Leader Lapras. Like,
yeah, I missed most of that episode, I think, for some reason. Whether I was tired or I was baking or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But Lapras showed up. Lapras is the new leader. Goodbye, Lapras. That's
also where they got the egg.
That's where they got the egg?
Yeah. That's why Ash had to go there, is to get the egg. But while he was there, the Lapras showed up and the lady was trying to study all that stuff.
Hmm. Okay.
Anyway, so Lapras and Larvitar both get a Pokeball.
Now it's time for Pokemon cards!
Alright, so I'm opening Scarlet and Violet Obsidian Flames with a Revaroom.
Oh, I've got the same thing.
And I have a Paldea Evolve. I don't know what Pokemon's on it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Alright. I got, for my first card, I have a Shinx Lightning type ability, Big Rar. Once during your turn, if this Pokemon is in the active spot, you may switch out your opponent's active Pokemon to the bench. Your opponent chooses a new active Pokemon. Just scare the Pokemon away.
Yeah, I guess.
Nimble, Grass type. Mastiff, Dark type. Slokoth, a colorless type. Its only attack is Yawn. Your opponent's active Pokemon is now asleep.
Yeah, I know Yawn.
Oh, I love this Pokemon. Ice Q. Water type. More so an ice type, but whatever.
That's the penguin with the block of ice forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iono, supporter trainer.
Oh, Iono.
Each player shuffles their hand and puts it on the bottom of their deck. If either player put any cards on the bottom of their deck in this way, each player draws a card for each of their remaining prize cards.
That's a good way to get ahead when you're losing.
This looks like something from Minecraft. Knackle Stack.
You know, that might actually be what's in your package.
Evolves from Knackle. Fighting type. My first reverse holo is a fire type. Fuego!
Nice.
And then my other reverse holo is a colorless Girafarig.
Ooh, fun.
And then my rare is a Luxray with a shiny edge to the card and like rainbowy colors. Evolves from Luxio. Ability, Swelling Flash. During your turn, if this Pokemon is in your hand and you have more prize cards remaining than your opponent, you may place this Pokemon onto your bench.
So you don't need to evolve it.
Sweet.
If there's an if factor in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a basic psychic energy.
All right, my first Pokemon is Tadbulb, electric type. Then Numel, fire type. Mawile, psychic type. Togedemaru, steel type. Umbreon, dark type.
Eeveelution.
Evolves from Eevee. Ooh, we got Umbreon. Umbreon's cool. I like a bunch of different Eeveelutions, but Umbreon is definitely cool. Then trainer supporter Poppy. Move up to 2 energy from one of your Pokemon to another of your Pokemon. Lunatone, psychic. Ability, New Moon. If you have Solrock in play, prevent all effects of any stadium done to your Pokemon in play. Reverse Holo, Foomgus, grass type. I like
Foomgus and Amoongus.
Then supporter trainer, Geeta, also reverse Holo. Oh, and this one's rare. Search your deck for up to 2 basic energy cards and attach them to one of your Pokemon. Then shuffle your deck. During this turn, your Pokemon can attack. This includes Pokemon that come into play this turn. Then my rare is Scovillion. Evolves from Capsicid, grass type, ability, double type. As long as this Pokemon is in play, it is fire and grass type. Or grass and fire is what it says.
We've run it in before.
Because it has 2 heads. One's red and one's green. Then a dark type for my Umbreon.
Let's see. I have Lechonk, colorless type. Ooh, I have Foomgus, grass type.
I like Foomgus and Amoongus.
I have Nosepass, fighting type. I have Rhyme, supporter trainer card. Draw 3 cards. Switch out your opponent's active Pokemon to the bench. I'm wondering if that's a black and white character, since there's black and white all over her. But maybe not. Dragonair evolves from Dratini. That's a pretty picture, too. Dragon type.
That was from one of our more recent episodes.
That definitely beats my Umbreon.
Armor Rouge, fire type, evolves from Charcadet.
Oh, I like him.
Ability, Scorching Armor. If this Pokemon is in the active spot and is damaged by an attack from your opponent's Pokemon, even if this Pokemon is knocked out, the attacking Pokemon is now burned. Supporter Trainer card, Ortega. Your opponent reveals their hand, and you choose a card you find there and put it on the bottom of their deck. If you put a card on the bottom of your opponent's deck in this way, your opponent may draw a card. Houndoom, dark type, evolves from Houndour. Sharpedo evolves from Carvana, water type. Oh, Sharpedo was reverse holo and so was Houndoom, sorry. I couldn't tell.
I thought it was kind of weird you didn't say it, but I was like, this
one. And then I got a Pomot EX.
Your pack was definitely better than mine.
And I really like Pomot. I was really excited for that community day back before our break when we were on vacation. And then I got a basic fire type energy card.
That is really cool. So that's our episode of Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and other podcasting platforms. You can also find us on YouTube at the Hunterfield Institute channel. Just look for the Routes Through Pokemon playlist. And wherever you find us, go ahead and comment, like, subscribe, rate, and review. You can also find our latest episode rankings, tally counts, and other fun stuff on our Facebook page, Routes Through Pokemon. Shaylock also posts on Instagram at @kinetic_card and X at Hunterfield Inns. Next week, we will be continuing our journey through the Kanto region in our Pokemon Gold, Silver, and Crystal video games. So thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next route.
Bye-bye!
Sayonara.
Adios!
Part 49, Fanatics. Hey you, stop right there! Violet's heart started to race at the shout. She was ready to run when she turned to see if it was another member of Team Rocket coming after her. But it wasn't that at all. Instead, it was an excited old man with a thick mustache that reached way out to each side of his face. I just witnessed your battles in the gym. You've got a lot of exciting Pokemon that you haven't evolved yet.
Yeah, so?
Violet was annoyed by the man. Part of that might have been the scare she felt, which wasn't really his fault. But now he was talking about how she hadn't evolved her Pokemon, as if she didn't know that. Oh, I don't mean any offense, miss. I just find it fascinating and wondered if you were, by chance, another fanatic like my friends and I. Not all of us evolve our Pokemon either, as we are interested in the creatures themselves and have our preferences for which forms are best. Evolution for evolution's sake is the mindset of trainers who think that's what is needed to win the championship league.
That's actually...
So I thought maybe you'd like to visit our little club here in Vermilion. Everyone would love to meet you and your Pokemon, as we are quite taken with the creatures.
I'd, love to, but...
Perfect. Come on then. Follow me. The older gentleman started off down the street, presumably to wherever he and his friends gathered.
Seriously, I actually need to...
Hurry, miss, or else all the tea and treats will be gone when you get there. Violet sighed and rolled her eyes. The man wasn't listening at all. She thought about just ignoring him and continuing on to the Pokemon Center, but that seemed rude, and more than likely the man would notice and try to dissuade her. Besides, tea sounded nice. Once they entered the home of the Pokemon Fan Club, Violet was greeted excitedly by many of the members. There were also portraits of Pokemon decorating the walls and plenty of Pokemon out and socializing while their trainers shared tea and conversation. Almost instantly, the man was approached and he apologized as he had to see to some things. He pointed out the table where Violet could get some refreshments. Not sure what she was doing there at all, but wanting some tea, she moved over in the direction the man had pointed.
Hello!
A well-dressed woman said, approaching Violet. Surprised, Violet stopped and turned.
Oh, hi,
she replied.
I saw you come in with the chairman. How do you know him?
Oh, I don't. Not really.
He was just sort of... Wait, did you say chairman?
Of course, you didn't know? He is highly esteemed in our community.
Violet got the impression that the woman had started off intrigued by Violet's connection and had quickly become offended that someone would possibly have no idea who the man was.
Okay.
Violet felt very uncomfortable in the following silence as the woman stared at her.
Like the Vermilion City community, or...
The woman's eyes went wide, and she leaned back as if she'd just been hit.
No, the Pokemon fan club. We are a community that stretches across the region. This building here is just the main headquarters as it is, where the chairman conducts official fan club business.
Violet nodded slowly.
Ah, yeah, that's cool.
She said, not really understanding or being as impressed as she felt she was expected to be.
I don't think you belong.
Hey, hi. You must be new.
A teenage boy approached, interrupting the woman. Giving one glance over at the woman, Violet saw she looked miffed at being cut off so suddenly. She was not someone Violet wanted any more to do with, and she threw herself into greeting the boy who had just arrived.
Yep, I was invited here.
A mischievous idea popped into Violet's head, and she had to work to suppress a sly smirk from creeping onto her face.
By the chairman himself.
Violet chanced another glance at the woman, and could see the fire burning in her eyes. The girl felt quite pleased with herself over that little maneuver.
Oh, really?
The boy said.
That is impressive.
Violet thought she caught his eyes give a quick glance at the woman as well. That... And his tone made Violet wonder if he had picked up on what she was doing and was also trying to frustrate the woman.
You must be someone really special, then,
the boy continued.
After all, the chairman is much loved and respected here. Many would kill to be close enough to him to warrant a personal invite.
That seemed to do the trick, and the woman turned on her heel and left in a huff. Both Violet and the boy lost control and snickered as she did.
That was great,
the boy said.
Thanks for the help.
Oh, don't mention it. She is not the best for first impressions of our club.
Really? I thought she was quite pleasant.
The boy raised an eyebrow.
Yeah, sure. Well, sorry for driving away a potential friend then. I guess you'll have to settle for me.
He reached his hand out.
I'm Henry.
Violet took the boy's hand and shook it.
Nice to meet you, Henry. I'm Violet.
Violet,
he repeated so as not to forget.
And your new friend over there.
He motioned to the woman, who was having a grumpy conversation with another crabby-looking lady.
Is Samantha. Since you like her, I could also introduce you to her bitter friend, Mel, standing next to her.
Laughing, Violet shook her head.
Oh, please no.
Well then, I guess I'll have to introduce you to friendlier members then.
Henry said.
But first, let's get you some tea.
As he led Violet to the table with the treats and the tea, she thought she caught a glimpse of something outside the window. Had someone been standing out there peeking in? She shook her head and figured it was unlikely. Besides, even if someone had, it was probably just out of curiosity. But it wasn't. The boy walked away from the window and turned down a shadowed area between two buildings. He looked up at someone much taller lurking there. "Okay, mister, I think I found her." To be continued.